Once Upon a Time, a Fantasy. This is an American Gold Seal production.
Once upon a time, there were three brothers. A big brother who was greedy, a middle brother who was not so greedy, but was greedier than he needed to be, and the youngest brother who was not greedy at all. Their father, the miller, had died, leaving to his sons his mill, one donkey, and an old cat. So it was that the eldest brother called his two younger brothers to the mill in order that the estate be divided equally between them.
Since I'm the eldest brother, I think that it is my right to have the mill.
Yeah, but that's not right, older brother. If you take the mill, you take everything, and you leave us nothing.
You can have the donkey, middle brother.
Donkey? Donkey? What's the donkey compared to the mill?
Well, what's the use of the mill without the donkey? You can haul the grain to the mill, then we use the donkey to turn the mill and divide the profits.
Well, I don't like the idea.
You'll have to like the idea. I'm the eldest, and besides that, I'm the biggest.
And what do I get, brothers, since one of you takes the mill and the other takes the donkey?
Well, now let me see.
I have it. You can have the old cat.
Yeah, that's right. And the cat can keep the mice out of the storehouse where we store the grain.
But remember, if we find as much as one single mouse in the storehouse, you get no pay.
Now, the youngest brother did have one thing that his elder brothers did not possess, and that was worth more than either the mill or the donkey. He had a kind heart. He loved the beasts of the field. He loved the birds of the air. He always saw to it that the old cat had a saucer of milk, and that in the winter the robins had a supply of crumbs on the windowsill. This kindness was known to the Squirrel King, and while the gnomes and elfins danced and sang in the fairy palace, Wrinkless, the king of the squirrels, sat on his throne thinking.
We're a happy family, gnomes and elfins all, gathered in the Squirrel King's palace at the Squirrel King's call. When he asks us here to meet him, we're to have some fun, for we're the happiest gnomes and elfins underneath the sun.
Wise old owl?
Yes, your majesty.
Have you been able to think of anything yet? Anything to help the youngest son of the old miller?
Not as yet, your majesty. Although I have sent for the cat to come here. In fact, your majesty, he ought to be here any moment.
Who's fetching him?
I send Crocus, Crocus the frog.
Crocus the frog? Crocus the frog to fetch the cat? Why, they've never even been introduced.
Oh, yes, your majesty. They're good friends. Crocus tells me that they often sit together on the edge of the old mill pond.
All right. But I still think you should have sent somebody else.
Look, here they come now, your majesty.
Your majesty, Wrinkless, the king of the squirrels, may I present to your majesty my old friend, the cat?
You may, Crocus. I'm very glad to meet you, cat.
I'm very glad to meet you, Your Majesty.
I've heard some very good reports about you, Cat. Tell me, what is the trouble at the mill?
The eldest brother took the mill, and the middle brother took the donkey, and I was left for my master, the youngest brother.
Yes, Cat. Go on.
Yes, of course. Go on, Cat.
Well, you see, I'm still a good cat, not as fast as I used to be, perhaps. But then, Your Majesty, even a good, quick cat couldn't keep all the mice out of the storehouse. And as I said, I'm old and slow.
Too bad. To wit, to who bad?
Yes, of course it's too bad, wise old owl. But that's just what I'm going to correct.
You are, Your Majesty.
Yes. Cat, tell me, what do you want most of all?
Next to helping my master, I'd like a pair of boots.
Boots, eh? Crocus, get a pair of boots.
Yes, Your Majesty, at once.
Now you want to help your master, eh? I have it.
What, Your Majesty?
Just you wait and see, wise old owl. Now everybody gather round.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Here are the boots. Your Majesty.
Put these boots on, Cat.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Now, kneel. When I touch your head with my scepter, you are to become a magic cat to be known forever as Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots, a magic cat you've now become. Puss
Back to the mill went Puss in Boots to tell his master of their good fortune. Puss in Boots' master was astounded when the old cat pranced into the mill, all dressed up in his shiny black boots with their red tops. And in amazement, he followed Puss in Boots to the river.
Master, quickly, we must go down to where the stream flows by the highway. The king will pass this way in a moment. Puss in Boots' magic cat will now be found. Puss in Boots.
What are you talking about?
You will find out. Wait till I talk to these workers out there in the field. There! You workers in the field!
What do you want, cat?
Don't call me cat. Call me Puss in Boots.
All right, Puss in Boots.
When the king and the princess pass this way, they ask you who owns this land. You say, our master, the Marquis of Carabasas. If you don't, off comes your head.
Very well, Puss in Boots.
Well, see that you do, then. Quick, master, get off your clothes and get into the river.
I'll do nothing of the sort.
Get off your clothes, or off comes your head.
All right.
Hurry, hurry.
I am hurrying.
Give me the clothes.
Hey, what are you doing? You've thrown my clothes into the water.
Get in the water and say nothing. Help, help, help.
Well, what's the matter? Who calls for help?
Look, Father, it's a cat.
Not a cat, Princess, but Puss in Boots. My master, the Marquis of Carabasas, was swimming and robbers stole his clothes.
How terrible.
Yes, yes, indeed. One of my retainers shall get clothes for the Marquis at once.
Yes, Your Majesty. At once, Your Majesty.
What beautiful fields, Father. Have you noticed?
Yes, my daughter. Who owns this land?
Our master, the Marquis of Carabasas.
Very wealthy man, this Marquis.
And very handsome, too, Father.
Yes, yes, quite handsome. Almost as handsome as I was at his age. Well, here come my servants with the clothes. Now, where's Puss in Boots?
Puss in Boots, oh, Your Majesty, bids us advance to yonder castle.
And Puss in Boots had. He had gone up the highway as fast as he could run to a giant's castle that stood just beyond the mill. His new boots made a clippity-clap as he danced over the cobblestones. And the giant servant ran to the door to see what could be making such a strange noise.
Who's that? What are you doing here?
I came to pay the giant a visit.
You came to pay the giant a visit, did you?
Who came to pay me a visit?
Oh, I did. I've heard great things of you. I heard that you could change yourself into any kind of an animal.
Well, of course I can. How's this for a lion?
That's pretty good, but anybody can make themselves look bigger than they are. But can you change into something tiny? A mouse, for instance?
I'll try.
Well, that's the end of that, Giant. You, now you listen to me.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, Master. Anything you say.
The king and the princess will be here in a moment. This castle now belongs to my master, the Marquis of Carabasas. You understand?
Oh, yes, master. Oh, yes, Puss in Boots. The king and the princess, you said?
The king, the princess, and my master, the Marquis. Welcome, O king. Welcome, O princess, to the castle of the master, the Marquis of Carabasas.
What a magnificent castle.
Yes, Father, a beautiful castle.
Young man, Marquis, I have taken a great liking to you. My daughter, likewise, has taken a great liking to you. You shall marry her. Harold, announce it to my people. The Marquis of Carabasas is to marry my only daughter.
Hear ye, hear ye.
The king commands that the marriage take place between the Marquis of Carabasas and the princess.
So poor Sir Boots is happy as can be, for he has helped his master, as everyone can see. We dance and sing with laughter forever and a day.
And so the fairies, gnomes, and elfins danced and sang in the castle courtyard. But the king, the princess, and the miller's son didn't see them. Because, you see, they were already inside the castle making ready for the wedding ceremony. And as for Puss in Boots, well, everybody knows he lived happily ever after.